Today is the very important and special day called Corpus Christi, the day in which we honor the fact that we're so blessed to have the true body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ present among us in the Blessed Sacrament. Now, a number of years ago, there was a pastor out in St. Louis, Missouri, who had a dilemma because he had a second grader, a very smart kid, the smartest kid in the second grade class, said to the pastor, "I don't believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, but I want to make my first communion anyway." Well, the pastor didn't know what to do, and so fortunately there was a visiting priest in town, and this was a national speaker, and he said, "Can you do me the favor of sit down and talk to this kid? This kid is really bright. His dad's a scientist, and we need some help in explaining the Eucharist to this kid." So the visiting priest said he would do that. Well, the priest asked the boy, "But what exactly is the problem? Why don't you believe that Christ could be present in the Eucharist?" Well, the boy says, "Well, I'm going to be a scientist when I grow up, and my dad is a scientist now, and he and I have decided that unless we can see it, we don't believe it." And the priest said, "Well, you know, there's a lot of things we believe in that we can't see." And the boy said, "Well, I go to Mass," he said, "and I see that after the priest says those words, 'This is my body, this is my blood,' it still looks exactly the same. It still looks like bread, it still looks like wine. How can Jesus be there if it still looks the same?" Well, the priest thought for a moment, and then he said, "Well, what if we took some bread and wine and went down to your dad's laboratory and then exposed that bread and wine to radiation and dosed it with high levels of radiation? Would you then eat that bread and drink that wine after we had dosed it with radiation?" And the boy said, "No way. I would never do that because it would now be radioactive material under the appearances of bread and wine. If I ate it, I would get sick." Well, the priest says, "Well, I thought you said you only believed in things you can see." The priest then said, "If we can do that in our laboratory, why can't God do that on the altar? That at the words of the priest, the validly ordained priest, who is speaking those words that Christ told us to speak at the Last Supper, why can't God change bread and wine into his body and blood and still have it continue to look like bread and wine?" And that's the great miracle of transubstantiation, that at the words of consecration, the bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, divinity of the resurrected, glorified Christ, but the appearances still remain the same. It still continues to look like bread and look like wine after the consecration. The appearances are maintained, but the substance has become Jesus Christ. The second grader said, "Well, now I can see. Now I believe." He went on to make his first communion. About 10 years later, that visiting priest was back in that parish giving another parish mission. And this young man comes up to him and says, "Father, you probably don't remember me, but I was the boy you had to convince about the Eucharist. Just to let you know that ever since I got my driver's license a couple years ago, I go to daily Mass before school. Because now that I believe and now that I know it's Jesus, how can I even miss one day of receiving him?" And that made a deep impression upon the priest. And that's a good, I think, inspiration to us too, that here we have the greatest treasure in our lives is Christ. And he's truly present in the Eucharist, in the Blessed Sacrament. And how, what a privilege it is, as we as Catholics can receive the Lord every Sunday, or even if it fits into our schedule and the duties of our state in life, even during the week, even Monday through Friday, if at all possible. The Eucharist is called the sacrament of love. It's the true presence of Christ. We call it the real presence of the Lord. Now, God loves us so much that he feeds us with his Son, Jesus, in the Eucharist. In the Old Testament, he fed the people with manna, and that nourished them as they journeyed to the promised land. Well, today, in our day and age, God continues to show his love for us by feeding us with the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is our spiritual food for the journey, our journey to the promised land of heaven. When I visit a dying person and give them their last communion, that's called viaticum. The Latin word means the food for the journey, because this will be the food that will take them as they pass from this life into the next life. And what a privilege it is for us as Catholics to have the Lord in the Eucharist. Because when we think of, well, just who is Jesus Christ? Jesus is the Son of God. He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity. The Eucharist is Jesus. And when we meditate upon this, it's a powerful thought to meditate upon the fact that when we receive the Eucharist, we're receiving God himself, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. What respect and reverence must we have for Christ present in the Blessed Sacrament? And we're born and raised with this, and sometimes we can take the Lord for granted. It's converts, when they come into the church, that really appreciate, I believe, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. What's been neat to see in the last 20 years in America, there's been about 500 Protestant ministers that have entered the Catholic Church. Many of them have brought their whole congregations into the church. And when you read their stories and listen to their tapes, it's because of the Eucharist. They want to receive Jesus, whom they've been reading about and studying about and teaching about all these years. The same Jesus that is present in Scripture is the one that they are receiving now in Holy Communion. And their respect and appreciation for the Eucharist can inspire us as cradle Catholics to be more appreciative of this great gift, the sacrament of love that we have in the Eucharist, in the most blessed sacrament. You know, sometimes I think, though, that with this great treasure that we have, with this great responsibility, with the great gift of the Eucharist comes a responsibility on our part to be extra respectful and reverential to the Lord in the Eucharist. I think that sometimes we can get into some bad habits as Catholics because we can take the Lord for granted. And the Church wants us to show the utmost respect and appreciation for the Lord in the Eucharist. So the Church reminds us that every time we come into Mass, we should genuflect to the tabernacle. And in our heart, we should say, "My Lord and my God." That's a beautiful prayer to say whenever we genuflect, before we enter the row of chairs, before we leave, to genuflect out of love and respect for Christ in the tabernacle. The Church also is encouraging us, before we receive the Eucharist, to make a sign of reverence, a sign of adoration to the Lord. And the Church in the United States is encouraged to each one of us to make a profound bow, that we bow before we receive the Eucharist. As the person ahead of you is receiving communion, we should make a reverential bow and say a prayer, and that because we're just about to receive the Lord. And then to receive the Lord with great reverence and respect as well. The Church also reminds us that to receive communion, there are certain conditions that have to be fulfilled to receive the Lord. One of them is that we have to be a baptized Catholic, a baptized member of the Church. We also have to believe that Christ is truly present in the Eucharist. And that's a very important thing. The Eucharist is not a symbol. It's not a reminder of Jesus. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, "This is my body. This is the cup of my blood." He didn't say, "This symbolizes," or "This reminds you of my body." He said, "This is my body. This is the cup of my blood." And so we have to believe in the Eucharist in order to receive the Lord in Holy Communion. The Church also says that we should prepare before every Mass by fasting for 1 hour before communion. And this would be from food and drink, except for water. Water is okay, or medicine. It's okay to take that. But we need to prepare ourselves to receive the Lord in communion by fasting for 1 hour. It's also something that I think a lot of people don't realize that if a person is married, their marriage has had to have been in the church. To have a Catholic marriage recognized in the eyes of the church and in the eyes of God in order for the couple to receive communion. A lot of times people don't realize that. They get married outside the church for one reason or another, and yet they continue to go to communion. And yet we know, if you read the teachings of the church, that only those married in the Catholic Church should be receiving communion. And so if somebody is in that situation where they may need to have the marriage blessed in the church, please give me a call, and I'd be more than happy to meet with you. Sometimes it's very easy. Sometimes it might be more complicated. But at least let me help you work through that so that this couple, you may be able to then go back to confession and back to communion and get your marriage blessed in the church. Again, it's something that a lot of people just don't realize, but hopefully we can take care of and bless these marriages in the church. Now, the last point that the church reminds us, in order to receive the Eucharist, we have to be in the state of grace, in the state of sanctifying grace, which means not being aware or conscious of any serious sins on our soul. If we are aware of any serious sins, we have to first go to confession, repent, receive absolution and forgiveness, and then receive the Lord in communion. But why is this so important? Well, it's based upon Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, St. Paul says that he who eats and drinks the body and blood of the Lord unworthily eats and drinks damnation. Paul says condemnation upon themselves. Well, that's a powerful thought there, that we would never want to commit a sacrilegious communion. That's what Paul is referring to in that passage, eating and drinking the body and blood of the Lord unworthily. Now, whenever we receive communion in the state of grace, it increases our relationship with the Lord. It increases our holiness and relationship with Christ. But if we receive the Eucharist in the state of mortal sin, the state of serious sin, then that's a sacrilege, and that takes us further away from God, which we would never want to do. So we first repent, go to confession, so then we can receive the Lord in his good graces. And I think that there, in our day and age, we probably do have a lot of couples, maybe through no fault of their own, a lot of people going to communion who need first to go to confession. For example, let's say you have a couple that uses artificial contraception. They, of course, have to refrain from going to communion. They have to first repent of their sin, which is a serious sin to practice artificial contraception. They have to first go to confession, change their way of life, and then they can come back to communion. The couple, for example, you might have a couple that had a vasectomy or a tubal ligation. They too have to repent of that sin, sincerely repent, go to confession, and then be restored back to the graces of God before they too can receive the Lord in Holy Communion. Or the same thing for a young couple. Let's say you have a couple before they get married, they might be cohabitating, living in sin. They have to separate, go to confession, and then be able to receive the Lord after that. So we would never want to commit a sin of sacrilege, because that's not going to bring us any closer to the Lord. It's going to take us further away from the Lord. So these are some of the things that we have to be reminded of. Another example is Mass on holy days and Sundays. Sometimes people, deliberately through their own fault, they don't go to Mass on Sundays or holy days. Well, they need to, of course, then go back to confession before receiving the Eucharist at the next Mass that they go to. So these things we have to be reminded of because of the great responsibility we have on our part. The Lord loves us so much, he gives us himself in the Eucharist, but we have to show our responsibility to the Lord by making sure we only receive him if we're properly disposed and in the proper state of soul to receive the Lord. The Lord loves us so much, and we should never take him for granted in the Eucharist. What a great blessing we have as Catholics to be able to receive not only Jesus every single Sunday, but even every single day if we're able to. God bless you.